Today's sales leaders face a difficult task, selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new three-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.
All right, live on United Public Radio Network, Michael Angley live. Couldn't do the show last week because of hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, aliens, all kinds of stuff blowing through Louisiana, blowing through the whole area there. And even though I'm in upstate New York, but the hub is down there at New Orleans, and then boom, got blown off the air, man. But everybody survived, back on the air. And then I'm going to tell you first about the Syrian airstrike, and I wasn't able to complain about it last week. And then a lot of people are saying, well, it's good, you got to rein in these dictators and all that. And then I'm going to do a, you're probably tired of hearing about it, I'm going to do a quick thing. I'm just going to say that Assad is still in charge, you know, so no matter what, you can launch a $500 million attack. You know, those cruise missiles are $1.4 to $1.8 million a piece. So you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. Let's talk just dollars and cents. You know, do we need playgrounds across the U.S.? Do we need to fix the roads? Do we need that infrastructure? Yeah, you know, we need all kinds of stuff. And we're launching multi-million dollar attacks on people that kill people, that destroys towns, and then they're saying, look, they took out chemical factories and all that. Yeah, yeah, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'll tell you where I'm at. I don't trust anybody. You know, I don't trust the government. I don't trust in what they say. I don't trust any one of them. And then look at what we're seeing with Comey. Look at what we're seeing with this whole Mueller thing. And look at what we're seeing Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe saying that Comey's lying about the whole memo thing. Comey saying that Andrew McCabe is lying. These are the top cops. These are the people that are supposed to be honest, you know, and then courageous. And then I'll tell you, they're just a bunch of freaking dirty politicians, man. And they're all lying and telling the same lie, the same buck. And that's really what it is, right? So go ahead. Assad is still in charge. Go ahead. Comey's sitting there with his book tour, trying to make some money through that. Go ahead. They're playing this game, the three-ring circus. Nothing ever gets done. And it's a show. It's the show of shows, you know? But I'll tell you, you look around the world, and there's some disturbing stuff happening, man. You have carnage in London. London has issues now that you wouldn't believe because they have taken in people that don't care about having a decent way of life. They took in people that are willing to harm and do crime and even throw acid in your face and take your money to be able to disfigure you without any empathy for that, nothing, no caring whatsoever. Take acid and throw it in your face, disfigure you, just to rob a few bucks off you. They don't even know what you have in your pockets. Maybe you only have a few bucks on you. And then I'll tell you, it's disgusting, it's disturbing, it needs to stop. London police are overwhelmed by this because they are not capable of handling these things. And then you have a mayor of London who actually looks the other way and backs these people, you know. He backs them. He looks the other way. They have enabled this to happen with their current leadership and then the whole, you know, you're a victim, I'm sorry, so we're going to look the other way when you commit a crime. I'll tell you, man, that is a certain way to bring about disaster. Now they have disaster, and they have knife attacks. A kid was knifed the other day, some law student, 18 years old, knifed, killed, right? We'll talk about America, handguns and guns and rifles and AR-15s and take them out of the hands of people, blah, blah, blah. Really? Really? And what's that going to do? You know what it does? It creates social icons that people out there can be bamboozled and latch onto like a bunch of leeches that they are. And those social icons rise to the top, and those political powers use those social icons to manipulate people. Isn't that simple? It's absolutely simple, and it's happening. And then, you know, a leading surgeon in London predicts a summer of carnage. Carnage. London. London. Carnage. Oh, yeah, man. So where's the David Hoggs of London to rise to that social challenge? There isn't any. You know, and the people of London are scared. They're afraid. They're being divided, and they're being left as sacrificial lambs. And we're seeing this all over the place. We're seeing this in California. California, where a guy was just murdered last night with his 5-year-old daughter in his lap, right? Eating dinner with his family in a little restaurant. So there's this homeless guy outside waving a knife around, going crazy, saying he's going to stab people, threatening people in the streets. This went on for about a half an hour. People didn't want to call the police because in California, this is the new norm. Looking the other way when people that they deem, the people of California, what they deem as victims, whatever the hell that is, let them go crazy in the streets. Maybe they're just blowing off steam, waving around that knife. In this day and age of people getting killed, in this day and age of people being pushed over the limits and losing their brains, you don't let someone like that walk around for not even 10 seconds. The second you witness someone waving a knife around, threatening others, going crazy, no matter what color their skin is, no matter who, what religion they are, I don't care what the hell they are a threat. And that threat needs to be neutralized. So you call the police and you have them come. No, they don't do that in California because it's a sanctuary state. And then it's beyond sanctuary. It's become a liberal island unto its own. And it's not even liberal, extreme. And most of California is not even freaking liberal. They want to vote to break it into three. Break it into three. But in where this part of California, what I'm talking about, the extreme liberalism is taking over, and common sense is out the window. Bringing in justice and law, forget it, man. They're looking the other way. They're letting felons go because they said that they're victims. They're felons. They hurt people, in some cases kill people, but they're victims, right? Do you even understand that? You even understand that kind of thinking, that mentality? So this guy is waving around a knife. Woo-hoo, I'm going to kill people. Yelling, screaming. He goes into the restaurant. He's standing in front of him. Walks up to a guy having dinner with his wife and his five-year-old. Five-year-old sitting in his lap. This guy takes the knife and stabs him right in the neck. Unprovoked attack, right in the neck. I didn't even look at him and make eye contact. He probably didn't even see it coming. Stabbed right in the neck. So then said murderer takes off, runs down the street, and then patrons in the restaurant chased after the guy and got a hold of him and waited for the police to show up. We'll see if they were charged for holding this guy. Because, you know, I see cases around the country pop up where people get charged for holding a criminal, depending how they hold on to him. Like, you're not allowed to put handcuffs on somebody like that. You're not allowed to put zip ties on someone like that. You literally have to have a few people sit on them to neutralize them, right? Which is nuts, which is crazy, because that goes against your whole ability to protect yourself and hold on to someone for the bullhorn yo-yos to show up so they can collect the trash and bring it into the trash station, right? So some lawyer can come along and plea bargain it down and say, oh, they're a victim. We have to let them go so they can walk out and victimize somebody else 10 seconds later. And as soon as they realize that there's a culture of corruption, as soon as they realize that there's a green light for crime, they commit more crimes and more crimes. So you're creating a situation that's a powder keg ready to explode. Here's a man who's dead, murdered in front of his family because of some nut. And I'll guarantee you, the nut has a rap sheet 10 miles long for all kinds of violence. But then there he is, running around the streets with a knife, looking to do people in. So do you ban knives? You know, in London, their mayor Khan wants to ban knives. They're going to ban knives. Yeah? Every butcher in London would be out of business. Oh, no, some people will be able to have knives. You know what? Knives? Have you seen a meat cleaver or a machete could do? Come on, man. Stupidity. You're going to ban pipes? They can't, you know, they already banned chemicals for burning people in the face, disfiguring people. These chemical attacks, these acid attacks, they're still happening. There was over 500 last year. And then what? What's their plan? To sit there and take it, you know, or to identify the enemy and eliminate it? What are they going to do? They're going to bombard people with niceties and say, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Oh, crap. No, they're not. Because London has a mayor that doesn't care. He doesn't care about the victims. If you think the mayor in London cares about all those people that got acid thrown on their face, men, women, children, all those people who were murdered or just attacked in general by knife attacks, all those people, he doesn't care. I got a friend over there who teaches martial arts, right? Wing Chun, man. And he said people are coming to him more and more to try to defend themselves. And then in class, they're asking about what happens if there's an acid attack. And he laughed. He's like, what the hell do you do? You know, what the hell do you do? You can defend yourself against somebody with a knife in a lot of cases, even a gun, depending on their intent and what their level of ability is, right? Which, let me say, you don't want to face people down with knives and guns. You know, you want to run the other way, get the hell out of there as fast as possible. You don't want to have to think about taking knives and guns away from people. But acid, a liquid thrown through the air, what the hell do? You wear a hat and pull down the brim and hope your face doesn't get burned. That's what's going on in London. And it'll happen in other places. You're going to see people, it'll catch on with the thug crowd. You're going to see people doing it all over the United States. It'll be all over the world. You'll see it in Canada. You're going to see it all around. You're going to see it in areas where there are people that don't care about other people. They live on a level of, I don't care, I want to destroy. You know, they hate everybody else in the world, whatever, man. That happens a lot in certain places, especially that have extreme poverty. But is it a poverty problem? No. It's a mentality, because I know poor people who don't want to go out and rob and kill, throw acid in someone's face, and go shoot someone, stab somebody. So it really comes down to the mentality and what their level of ability is. What's stopping them in their brain to do something that's so horrific? So how do you combat that? You know, you identify the problem and you neutralize it. So in London, if there's only one type of attacker, and I am told it is all these Muslims that have come in and these migrants, that's what I'm told by people in London, not the newspapers, not anything else. And these people aren't racists. They're not sitting there hating on everybody. Some of these people are black in London, and they're telling me what's going on. That life was pretty good until these migrants showed up and until these so-called war refugees showed up, and then they don't play by the rules. They don't care about heritage in London or England. They don't care about people's safety. All they care about is what they see, what they want, and how they're going to take it from you. And it's becoming like that more and more, you know? And these people will risk, they'll risk their lives to take a few bucks from you. That's irrational. That's crazy, right? But they'll do it. And they're usually hooked on something. They got some kind of drug going through their system or whatever. No, go ahead. Look the other way. Go ahead. California, London, there's tons of places. New York City. Go ahead. Look the other way. Look the other way in crime. Let people be the criminals that they are, and they're going to get more comfortable in that crime, in that criminal environment. More, you know, they're going to gain strength with other people. So what you're creating are like super criminals. They're going to come out instead of doing these little misdemeanors that they say, like in New York, when they decriminalized misdemeanors for minorities, talk about racists, but talk about endangering people. And let me tell you, the other minorities in those neighborhoods aren't very happy with that law because they have to live with these other criminals. You know, the people who aren't criminals have to live with criminals. So, but in New York City, they like to contain. They contain people in certain areas. They don't let them out. They keep them all in one area, right? And then the area, the outskirts of those areas are heavily patrolled. It's been going on for years. So they can say that they're liberal. They can say that they have all these programs for people. They can say they're doing so much for people. You know what they do? They just lie to you and get your vote and think, and then you think, I'm voting for this Democrat who really cares about the people. Really? The Democrat cares about the people? I love that when Bernie Sanders said that he supports minorities and always has and became a politician to support minorities, right? And then this is a dude who moved from Brooklyn, which has Brooklyn's a melting pot. It's got all kinds of people in it, you know? If you're a politician in Brooklyn, you can represent all kinds of people across the board. What does he do? He moves to Vermont. The whitest state, I think, probably even whiter than Montana. And Montana is pretty white. Whitest state in America, I believe, is 98% white. He moves there and becomes mayor of Burlington. And then he represents minorities. That's why. So his lifelong dedication to minorities. That's why people didn't believe in him. People didn't believe what he was saying. He's just another carpetbagger with a different story. All of them, man. When Barack Obama was running, I'm going to change the way Washington works. I'm going to change. I'm going to do. Oh, yeah, he did change the way Washington works. Now nobody trusts anything. You know, he exploited all the processes, didn't he? And then shamed people, shamed it, used the shaming language and making people do what he wanted them to do. All everybody thinking he's Jesus. He got the Nobel Peace Prize. He killed more innocent people than anybody, any sitting president with drones. You know, Ralph Nader, he himself came out saying that and then was laughing his ass off when Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, right? So now that brings me to the art of the deal, man. North Korea freezes missile tests. Big headline. You're not going to see it on CNN, you know, or if they do talk about it, they give their, it's a negative story, you know. I mean, CNN will never say anything positive about Trump. I think he has to know that. I think people who support him know that, and that's why they don't watch CNN. They've clearly divided themselves against the public, right? Nobody I know who is a middle of the road person watches CNN because they can't. To me, these are tabloid papers or tabloid TV shows, tabloid media. And when I'm saying tabloid, it's a dirty word to me because like National Enquirer and all those, The Star and all that, were all tabloid papers and still are. And they produce true stories most of the time. But CNN, it's like they make it up as they go along. Or they'll take something and just twist it in what they want to impress that extreme liberal who watches them, you know, and then expect that. Same from Rachel Maddow. I tuned in the other night when she was on, and it was not just difficult to watch her, her delivery, the way she talks, the whole, I don't know. And obviously she gets high ratings. It appeals to somebody out there is listening to this and feeding on this information, but yet it's not real information, you know, and that's what gets me. Let's talk about lying for a minute, right? If we can't trust anybody in the government like that. I'm saying not anybody. I'm not thinking there's one person in there that we could trust what they said. And it's always some kind of, mental breakdown of what the real situation is. And then they feed it to you, right? I don't know, man. I don't have trust for them. And then now I don't trust the FBI. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust any of them. And I think that they've proven that to us. It's not something that we conjured up, we the people. It's what we're witnessing. It's this hate and anger for Trump. And that's cascaded into all kinds of abuse of government, abuse of office. You know, we're talking about Eric Holder, Barack Obama, all these people who were involved in this dossier, and they knew the dossier was fake and used it anyway. They paid for it. Now the DNC is suing Russia, Trump campaign, and I don't know how they're going to sue the Trump campaign because you need, suing them for interfering with the 2016 election, right? And I don't know how you're going to sue the Trump campaign. And it's funny how the DNC people in the DNC, including all their media outlets, CNN, MSNBC, those are the media outlets for the DNC. They're controlled by the DNC, right? CNN, the Clinton News Network, is really what it is, right? All these media outlets come out with this dossier, Christopher Steele, all the stuff, ramming it down people's throats, hammering, even ignoring other news that was bigger news just to hammer this whole Russian thing. And then it turns out that there's, so-called really no collusion. It hasn't been proven yet anyway, right, as to what we know. But the media will make you think so. They'll make you think that it had. They're misrepresenting things all the time. But they're ignoring all of this illegal activity from the former president, the vice president, maybe Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden lives his life in the bottle. He was always in rehab for drinking. They like to cover all this stuff up. It's out there if you look for it. Little blurbs and news stories are out there if you look for it, I'm happy he's not president. I'm happy Hillary's not president right now. If Trump is the guy who's flushing all these people out and being boorish and being a pig, whatever, man. And I don't care who he stumped 15 years ago. I don't care who he stumped last night. Because, it's none of my business who you have sex with. It's my business if it endangers my national security. If you're bumping somebody and that endangers my national security, and you're the president, then it's my business. Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton getting jiggy with it, with Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office and lying about it. Sure, people have their weak spots, A lot of guys weak spots in their groin in a weird way, But do I live like that? No. Do I live on that level? No. Do I think it's okay for me? For me, no. So would I hang out with Donald Trump? Do I have respect for him? No. What I think he is, I think that he is the thing that we need to flush out the bushes of all the vermin that's in there so we can identify it and then solve that problem and get rid of that culture of corruption. So, like I said before, the art of the deal. North Korea agreed to freeze the missile tests. They're meeting with Trump. Kim Jong-un's meeting with Trump. I heard they set up a meeting at Supercuts, as a matter of fact. They both have a coupon. Both Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. They'll come out with some new dues and maybe make a deal. So I threw this out there like a piece of meat. And social media, just to see what people, I want to see what the libtards think, because I've got some extreme liberals on my list, right? Extreme, I'll say that. And I I don't get angry at them because there's nothing to get angry at. You know, the only thing I will tolerate is name calling. When people start attacking you and calling you, you don't want to attack the information. Go ahead. You don't agree with something you think is fake news or some story. Go ahead. Attack the information. I'm not putting some out there saying that I know verbatim what the truth is and what the truth isn't. I'm just putting a news story out there that seems worthy, right? But it, one comes out and you're all so stupid. Bah, they're both lying, Kim Jong-un and Trump, and they're going to destroy the world. Bah. You know, crazy people like that used to have to keep it all inside. You know, now they got the green light from the Obama administration, you know, even the Bush administration, because it was, that's when the lies really kicked into high gear. But then before that, you got Clinton, and before that, Bush, you know, we could go down the line of liars or whatever. I'm saying that people don't have a shut-off valve these days. Some people, anyway, they let it out. They have to yell and scream, "You're stupid, you stupid moronic asshole, stupid bastard, you." And you look at them, you know what I do? I laugh, man. Like when people, I've got to tell you, I'm a true heckler in my soul. I was the class clown in school. You know, I was scorned because of it. I spent much time in school suspension, you know. All that. I can name a few people that were right there next to me. And, you know, these days, school's tolerated. They think it's cute. Back in the day, you spoke out in class and you were pretty much done for. But that was also the beginning of the school's tolerating certain behavior from certain people and bending over backwards, and then those people went on to do terrible things in life, and I got to see that happen, right? So yeah, speak out of turn, that's me. I'm a huge ham. I'm a ham salad. You know, you put me in a situation like that, I'm going to be the attention. I mean, that's just the way I roll, man. I'm kind of always on in that weird way. But to get mad at a comedian, and I'm a comedian, there's no bones about it, you know, I've done stand-up and all that, I like to laugh, I like to hoot, you know what I mean, I like to make people laugh. Well, you can't get mad at a comedian, because a comedian just laughs in your face, and then uses that against you to make you more angry, and that's kind of like my ability, you know, like God gives people an ability, sometimes several abilities. Some people are blessed. They have multiple abilities. I've got one really good ability. I can piss off anybody in under 20 seconds. That's a gift from God. So, but the bottom line is, when it comes to people getting angry at you in social media, you just have to laugh it off, man. But I threw this story out there about North Korea freezing its missile program. And then it's interesting that people that came out and I said, you know, should Donald Trump get the Nobel Peace Prize for this? Because no U.S. leader has ever reined in a leader of North Korea. Never. And then using China to do it. I mean, Kim Jong-un, for the first time ever, left North Korea and went on a vacation to China to visit Kim Jong, you know, the leader in China. And then talk to him. Kim Jong-un had never left North Korea before, you know? So Xi Jinping receives him, and you saw that guy's face. I mean, I don't know if you looked at the pictures of that, because it's surreal. And it was very Adams Family-ish, you know, like the whole train in the middle of the night type of thing, the train leaving in the middle of the night, going into like this special hopped up train going, you know, it was like old timey hopped up train too. It was very weird, man. Very, very surreal. But Trump did that. You think if Hillary was in there or anybody else, I mean, anybody, Bush or whatever, anybody else, do you think that they would have reined in Kim Jong-un? You know, in the letter that Obama wrote to Trump, you know, when they changed office, he said the number one thing that kept him awake at night, terrified was Michelle. No, just kidding. the one thing that kept him awake and terrified at night was Kim Jong-un. This was Barack Obama's number. Not people losing their jobs or people suffering and all the crime in America and all that. None of that, you know. Not all the illegal aliens pouring in and we don't know who they were and ISIS going crazy, chopping people's heads off and crucifying people. Remember ISIS? Hey, are they still chopping people's heads off? Are they still crucifying people? Are they still raping the little Catholic girls and all that crap, or Christian girls and all the stuff, terrible stuff they did? No, they're all dead. They've been destroyed because Trump put a dude named Mad Dog Mattis in that position in charge of the Pentagon, not a physicist from Harvard. Ashton Carter was Obama's man in the Pentagon. Ashton Carter, a physicist from Harvard who knows nothing about eradicating a threat like ISIS or anything else under the sun. So people give Trump credit for that? Of course not. So all I'm saying is that I find it hard to stick up for Donald Trump and you know, defend him in any way, because I don't think I have to. I think he's probably a bigger heckler than me, and he can roll off more crap than I can, because obviously he's doing it. You know, the whole Stormy Daniels thing and whatever people's fascination. There's no fascination except the CNN. And it's they love it. They're running with it. It's got sex. It's got all kinds of stuff, right? Meanwhile, she's told people that nothing ever happened. If something did happen or not happen, you know, what difference does it make? Is it going to change the spin of the earth? Is it going to change your life? You know, if Trump did this with this girl, whatever, who cares? It really comes down to a media outlet banging away on a president because they don't like him. It's barely even a news story, but it's something that they beat the bushes for, you know? So that's the deal. So what about this dude raiding in people like Kim Jong-un? And now North Korea and South Korea have a connection established again. They're talking to each other again. So all of this happened because of Trump. And I would like to see someone give him credit, at least say what I say. Yeah, he's a pig, but he did a good job there. You know what I mean? Here's a situation that did a good job. I know under Barack Obama, his administration, his whole deal, everything he talked about fell apart within a few months of him getting elected the first time, and then it became just nonstop, all that. But I'll tell you right now, right here today, if Obama was still president and he did this deal with North Korea, people would be singing songs for him all over the world. Right? They'd be lighting candles. You know, he'd get the Peace Prize plus extra bonuses, man. Everything, all the accolades, all the whole world leaders will call him in and say, oh, Obama, we love you. But Trump does it, and they're like, oh, you bastard. You bastard. If the devil popped up and said he didn't like Trump, these hardcore libs would say, I love the devil. I love him. That's right. And that's so they just see an enemy. You know, they just see an enemy. So, whatever, man. I see things heating up, and then the whole thing with the DOJ, now the Department of Justice, is probing James Comey, former head of the FBI, over classified information. Because guess what? All those memos he wrote as the head of the FBI in meetings with the president and anybody else were department property. And he leaked those memos to the press. He took those memos with him. Then he printed those memos in his book. My God. Who was advising him? You know, and this guy's a lawyer. This guy, and he's coming off like the choir boy. That's the CNN, man. They love pushing the dude like he's this choir boy. Meanwhile, look at the crappy job he did. So push politics aside. Look at the crappy job he did. And no wonder why the FBI is falling apart. Our nation's top cops, if you can't rely on the FBI, who the hell are you going to rely on? And that's the scary part. Talk about your zombie apocalypse, man. You know, who do you rely on when they're all dirty? It's like the mafia took over the entire system. You know, and you have all these people that the only thing they care about is making money and lying about it and then putting you in jeopardy to do it. And then they just continue. You know, and what about people's rights? What about people's rights to know the truth from these leaders? How about we take them all and we shoot them all full of sodium pentothal truth serum, and then we grill them on Capitol Hill? If we can't trust them, we need some kind of congressional committee to get together and vote through some bills that's going to help us protect ourselves. You know, I want to see Comey take lie detector test. I want to see him go through all the techniques that the FBI uses on people to get truth out of them. Why not? It's crucial that we know the truth, right? So now he's going to be probed. I'll tell you, there is more probing going on in D.C. right now than at one of those UFO conventions, man, you know? And then you get Iran. Iran's fighting it out with Israel. Israel flew in there and flew out of there and wasn't detected by Russian radar or Israeli radar, and then announced it, bold and happy, which wasn't very smart, right? You never want to tip the enemy off as to your capabilities, so I'll just put that out there. You know, but they want to go into Syria and into Iran and pound the crap out of them. And then, I don't know, deservedly so. Iran threatens Israel every day. They swear murder against the U.S. and Israel every day before they pray. Before they pray, after they pray. They pray like five times a day. You know, we hate America, a sworn enemy. We're going to kill America. Yeah. That's great. Yeah? And it's just, where is there peace in the world? And I look for positive news stories. I really do. I know everything going on that you could possibly know in the mainstream news, and then also little outlets here and there. Especially I like to go to smaller papers, you know, that are online. Can't call them papers. I mean, smaller sites that are online. So I could read some human interest stories, right? ISIS threatened CNN and Universal Studios. That's interesting. And like ISIS, they've been decimated. More, you know what? They've been destroyed, basically, in most of these areas. And then you don't want them to have a resurgence and come back. And that's like the whole Syria chemical attack. And I don't even believe that Assad was behind the chemical attack, because number one, it was very small in scale. And number two, it had not been proven that he had any part of it. But this wasn't about Assad. It wasn't about chemicals. When we launched all those Tomahawks plus other ordnance against Syria last week, it was about showing Putin who's boss. And it was about showing China who's boss. And it was about showing Kim Jong-un who's boss and what we're capable of. Network. We can happily sit there and launch missiles all day. Media reported that some of the missiles were shot down. Maybe a lot of missiles were shot down. My thing is the cost. You know, number one, you're killing people unnecessarily. You're punishing people that really had nothing to do with the attack. And Assad is still in charge. So all these people that came to the media and said all this stuff and whatever, and Canada supports it and Israel and whatever, and all these people, and you know, the UK and France, everybody's in on it. Russia against it. Course, Iran against it, of course. Turkey was for it, believe it or not, of course, because they freaking hate Syria, man, you know. But Assad is still in charge. That's the deal, you know. The second time when they went after Saddam Hussein, they found him in the rat hole. They arrested him and everybody who looked like him. Yeah, you know, ended up swinging by a rope. I didn't agree with that. I think it could have been handled differently, you know, that, and I think that, you know, since then over a million people in Iraq have been killed. And then you look at the true numbers of deaths and how that affects all those families and whatever, all for what? But here we go again. And you launch this attack that costs over $500 million to, you know, and within just a few minutes of shooting missiles at somebody, to punish this guy for something that you didn't have the information for to begin with. Sure, drag him out, hang him by a rope. Do what you got to do, man. The next guy in charge will probably be much worse. So I think that at some point in humanity, there needs to be a balancing point. Yeah, the people in those areas need to overthrow their dictators. and install a system of democracy. We can't do that. That's not our job. That's not our charter. If you read the Constitution, it says that we can't do that. We shouldn't do that unless we're being threatened, you know? ISIS threatening CNN. There you go. And that's, you know what? Screw CNN. And then you have police officers, like in Georgia the other night, two police officers get gunned down while they're sitting there in a diner eating because some psychopath walks up with a gun and shoots them dead, then shoots himself. We are in this culture of police hate. And then, oh, CNN comes out the story, ISIS threatened us. They don't even care about cops getting gunned down. You know, CNN is part of that, isn't it? They race bait. They play that race card. They make people hate. They don't try to solve a problem. They don't try to neutralize it. They just make people hate, man. Same as MSNBC, same as Fox. You know, all these mainstream media outlets are all geared towards one group. No middle of the road people, no honest news stories, all the same crap trap. That's nothing. You know? Really? But meanwhile, people in London getting acid thrown in their face so someone could take some money from them. What about the individual? How about keeping people safe? You know, how about you lock up your criminals and you keep them there, and then you don't have to worry about it, right? No. You let people get away with stuff over and over and over again, it's going to get worse, right? So I think that, you know, yesterday was 420, right? People all across the United States, maybe across the world, that they're getting high, smoke some marijuana for 420. It's become a thing. Yes, you know? I remember when it first started, and now it's become a thing. But it's just interesting watching the news stories all over the place, you know, about the whole 420. Of course, today is 421, which is surprise drug test day for all you people out there. But you have states all through the United States legalizing marijuana for taxable sale. You know, Colorado, of course, you know about, you know, now Massachusetts, California, Oregon, Washington. There are a lot of states now that are offering that. Now New York State's talking about it because New Jersey's talking about it. You know, these states are building schools. These states are doing amazing things with that tax money that they wouldn't normally have, because then the marijuana would still be bought and sold, but it would be in the black market, which keeps it out of the hands of the government, right? So now Chuck Schumer is on the bandwagon. He wants to legalize marijuana in New York State. And New York State's already decriminalized. I think you could have up to a couple of ounces without being charged with anything, maybe even 2.5 or somewhere around there. So, you know, and then the courts realize that while you have some small town courts rely on that money, you know, it's like you ever go to a small town and the speed limit's 30 and you will get pulled over from doing 31 and they will give you a ticket going 31 and the judge will not let you go and they'll get that speeding ticket out of you, right? Because they want the money. It's like extortion or something, man. But they figure, well, you broke the law. Hey, speed limit. You know what I mean? Speed limit? Really? I think that I think that there needs to be some leeway. And a lot of police officers will give you like a 4 or 5 mile per hour leeway, you know, as long as you're not driving erratically and that type of thing. But some small towns rely on that, same as marijuana, you know. These small towns, they want to bust people. And now New York State, a few years ago, took that away from these places. So, and then in Ithaca, New York, where I am, very liberal, and people pretty much smoke pot out in the open, even though you can't go to a store and buy it. But now you can get medical marijuana and do the whole thing. But now New York State is talking about legalizing it across the board because it'll create billions of dollars in tax money. And then New Jersey, which is in financial crisis because Chris Christie left them in shambles. You know, and I find it interesting that people aren't really talking about the whole Chris Christie phenomenon. But here you have another time where, you know, this happened during Ronald Reagan. You have a time where someone's in there, they're in control, and they fudge the numbers. They basically take one credit card to pay for another credit card. And then they take that other credit card to pay for the other one. And they go back and forth. You're in there for quite some time. You realize that by the time you leave, there's this huge debt. And everything falls apart. So now the new leadership in New Jersey is trying to combat that. And then they are they don't know what to do. They can't pass the budget because they don't have the money. They're going to have to start shutting stuff down. Remember Chris Christie shut down the beaches because of the budget, and he was sitting there on the beach, he himself with his family. What a sight that was, you know? So it just goes to show you the way people are and what happens. And when Ronald Reagan left office, the whole thing fell apart. And then you had that idiot Bush in there who didn't know what he was doing. And then the whole thing, read my lips, no new taxes. That's the worst era ever. Now, Barbara Bush died. You guys see that in news. I'm not even going to say anything about it because I got nothing. I have nothing positive to say about the Bush family. Nothing. Nothing. All right? I'll leave it at that. But in the end, all we can do is go forward. And I think that the kinder, gentler approach to government and understanding that justice also needs to be swift and tough love, man. You can't look the other way when it comes to hardcore criminals. You just can't do it. And people committing misdemeanors, you can't look the other way because the other people in those neighborhoods are the victims of those crimes. Yeah? You don't want a repeat offender living next to you. There are people who live in terror of their neighbors. You know, if they don't even go outside of their house, they're stuck. If they go out for their job, they come back and their house is robbed. They go out to get groceries, they come back, they get robbed on the way back or robbed on the way there. This happens multiple times every day in many neighborhoods throughout America, but those neighborhoods are contained. They're contained because the people committing those crimes remain in those neighborhoods, basically. They try to leave that neighborhood, and boom, happened in Far Rockaway. I had friends in Far Rockaway. Everybody stayed in the one neighborhood. I was from Nassau County, the next county over. And I said, hi, you know, have you ever been to this place in Nassau County, whatever? This one guy looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, Nassau? His eyes grew really large, like, Nassau? I'm like, what's wrong with Nassau County? Oh, man, the cops in Nassau, they'll get you. I'm like, really? Nassau County finest? Nassau County police officer? Never really had a problem with Nassau County police officers myself. Always found them to be decent, right? Most of the time, I think if you're committing crimes and, you know, these guys get in your face, I could see that a reason why people wouldn't like them. But anyway, they said that, you know, they'll harass you just for being black or whatever. Those are the days where I was young. I was a teenager and I was learning about all these things and learning that certain people could leave certain neighborhoods comfortably. I was able to move around many neighborhoods. They call that white privilege these days. There is a level of white privilege, you know, in certain places with certain people, I think. It's actually fading away, and I think that it needs to, you know, but there's also reasons for all kinds of stuff, too. You know what I mean? Every time you have an issue, there's a reason for that issue. Whatever the reason is, needs to be solved. You have to go back to the head of the snake and cut it off to solve the rest of it, right? So people don't want to do that. They want to come out with all kinds of statements of, you know, like the ones crying race are these old white guys. You know what I mean? Like racism. I'm hearing old white guys, Bernie Sanders, talk about racism. Who was ever racist against him? Even when he was, you know, a Jew in New Jersey and Brooklyn, who was it? He never had a racist thing. Nothing ever racist. Nobody was ever denied something. I'll tell you, there's two kinds of racism, right? Not doing something for someone because of their color and doing something for someone because of their color. You know, oh, you're black, so I'm going to help you. No, how about you're a human, I'm going to help you. And then that's the thing that we need to solve in our world and things that we need to get away from in this world. Because if you start catering to groups and, you know, the Democrats do this, Republicans are starting to do this because they're learning how to cater to certain groups and speak to those groups and single them out. That's the deal. But who's screaming racism? You know, George Clooney, racism. He's this rich white guy and you know, lives in mansions, has private planes. He's not a regular old person sitting there worrying about their bills. He's George Clooney. He's not said black person living in wherever. Let's say you're a black person living in the ghetto. is some high rise, some government funded high rise, and then you're terrorized. Elevator doesn't work. You gotta use the stairs. Half the lights on the stairs are out. You ever watch a zombie movie or like a zombie TV show and like, you know, the beginning is when everything's breaking, all the carnage is breaking out. People are yelling and screaming and fighting, gunshots going off and whatever. And then like there's a dude, like in The Walking Dead, you had that guy Rick who had like was going down the stairs to the in the hospital. The power's out. He's using matches to go down the stairs and he's like walking on bodies and whatever and then trying to get out and there's like all this carnage. That's what it's like being in the ghetto. You know what I mean? I'm not kidding. That's what it's like being in a lot of these projects because they don't care. The city doesn't care. Those governments don't care. They care about using those people. Cory Booker cares about using the people who vote him in. He doesn't live like that. He's not solving the problem. So if all these Democrats are in charge of all these terrible areas where people are suffering, how come they don't fix it? You know, it's not like someone's going to deny it. We need to level those ghettos. We need to level those ghettos. Those ghettos are like the Auschwitz of America. And that might sound extreme. More, you know, the death happens there. Death happens in Chicago. Death happens in Baltimore. Death happens in Brooklyn. Death happens in Compton. You have areas where people are dying because they're killing each other because of what? They don't think that they have a future, no opportunity, nothing like that. But where is their representation? Where are the politicians that we vote in to help people? They ever come along and say, level the ghettos? You know? So that's what has to happen. And then you begin. You know what? People want reparations, reparations. You know what reparations really is? You want to make things right with people and give everybody a fighting chance. You have to treat people like human beings. It's that simple. But we don't have that. And I see Nancy Pelosi's and all these people, I don't care, Republicans, Democrats, all of them are elected to represent all of us. But you create people, you know, these situations create big time criminals, man. And they go out and victimize. And they have more victims and more victims. Oh, they go to court, they get let go, or whatever. Maybe they do some time. These guys are used to going to jail. They don't care. It's like going back to high school for them. They see all the people that they know. They learn more crooked crap, you know, more games, learn to lie better, deceive better, come out, commit more crimes, get more emboldened, more angry over time. They don't trust anybody. They don't have any empathy for anybody. So they look at you, they'll take your life. Is that what you want? How about we fix the problem then? And I see a huge problem. I see multiple problems, as a matter of fact. You know, when you have the mayor of Baltimore and the police commissioner get up in front of a hip-hop concert and apologize for 200 years of police service, apologize. And then they got booed by the crowd, which is even funnier. You know, they don't even know who they're talking about. You know, Amy Schumer, right? The comedian, actor, whatever you want to call her. I don't like her. I don't think she's funny. I don't know her to like her or not know her. I think that all these people make crazy statements. I think that they try to outdo each other, making the biggest crazy liberal statement they can possibly make to show that they're pigeon brain, I guess, or whatever. So there she is on The View, a tuna fish salad beyond comparison, beyond words. Amy Schumer's on there and apologizes for being white, you know? And I'm thinking, like, she apologized for being Caucasian and said that a woman of color should have gotten the last lead role that she had gotten, this overweight woman role, I guess, whatever, which is doing horribly, opened up terrible. Nobody wants to see it. She's done. She's in movies that fail. She has to make these statements to keep herself in the press. The press is talking about her. I'm talking about her. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about Amy Schumer. Went to the same high school. Isn't that crazy? You know how many freaks came out of high school? Howard Stern. People like that. What was wrong with that place, man? I talk about it all the time. Yep. Amy Schumer apologizing for being Caucasian. How stupid is that? So I have friends who are black, right? I have friends who are Spanish and Asian and whatever. I say to people who are of color, I like I have my little list of people I like to talk to. We have a little group where I talk about race relations and stuff in the world and whatever, and a lot of that turns into that, and I think it's interesting and important to talk about. I'm like, what do you think when an Amy Schumer says, I apologize for being Caucasian, and not one person said, yeah, she should be, you know. Well, they're all like, well, what an idiot. And she has no clue. She has no idea, you know. So, okay, Amy Schumer, how about this? You don't like your white privilege. You're ashamed of being Caucasian, and you're ashamed of making all that money from being Caucasian, obviously. Why don't you take your mansions, take your condos, take your little beach resort places, and you yourself, give it to people of color. Donate it to the NAACP. Give it to people that really need it. Find a family in Far Rockaway, New York, or any other place, and then take that family out of there and put in one of your mansions and say, here's a bunch of money. I apologize here. No, she's not going to do that. She's not going to give up her money. She's not going to give up her mansion. She's not going to give up all that life. She wants to go on The View and apologize and say, oh, I feel terrible. But she's not willing to do anything about it, which is the problem with all these liberals. They want to save the world, save the bees, save the bears, save the whales, all these other things. But they don't want to help people. They want to help people, but they don't want those people in their backyards. It's interesting in Orange County when they're putting up those homeless tents, how the people in Orange County fought, kicking and screaming. You know, on one hand, I say I can't blame them. On the other hand, I say that they're a bunch of hypocrites because it's a big liberal area, and they're all talking about how you have to help people, help people, help people. Now they got the chance to help people, and they don't want to help them. They're suing. They're suing. And what a world we're in, you know? What a world. I think that in the end, you just have to be the best person you can be and put that vibe out there and help other people in your world. Whoever's in your path, you don't journey off your path. You stay on that path and help the people on that path, and then the world becomes a better place. Other than that, watch out, man. Yeah, you could be that guy sitting in a restaurant in California and get stabbed in the knife by some psychopath. You could be the person waiting across the street in London and get acid thrown in the face. Don't put yourself out there as a victim, and don't be paranoid. You know, you just have to be aware of the time and the season. You got to look around and then trust that inner instinct. You know, we all have it. You got to trust it, look around, be careful, especially in these days, because this weekend, especially Hitler's birthday yesterday, these neo-Nazis running around going crazy. You know, it's just that people are so screwed, and there's an element out there that's twisting the screw, and then they like it, and they make money from it. So watch out. Follow the money, right? Follow the money. Maybe Amy Schumer will give up her wealth to some nice black families or Spanish families in the United States of America and help them out, or communities. I mean, probably the price of just one of her mansions could support a whole community. All kinds of stuff, right? Anyway, this is Michael Engley on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104% of Past Christian, saying good night and have a great weekend.